Psalm 119, starting at verse 9. How can a young man, how can a young woman, how can a young person keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. Lord, we come before you this morning that you would walk and be among us and guide us, Lord. Guide us into great victory in 2017, Lord. Guide us by your spirit. Guide us by your word as we keep a focus on you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Translation is coming through. ¿Escuchan esta? ¿Está bien? All right, all right. Okay, I remember, anybody celebrate the loss of the Raiders yesterday? It was a hammering defeat. As I was not enjoying that defeat yesterday, I was reminded, I was thinking about the message, anything about it, the game, I remembered that years ago, this is years ago, many years ago, probably 6-7 years ago, they had on ESPN a competition of NFL players playing NFL or football on Xbox. And they were interviewing this guy, and he's like, I don't remember who he was, but he was this Pro Bowl guy, great guy, you know, and he just got hammered, just destroyed. And the guy's going, yeah, you know, I was playing these guys, and they know how to use all the buttons and stuff. And he had no clue on all these buttons. I'll ask Joe and Josh to come up here. They are aficionados of Madden. I need this mic going too. Yes, glory. Microphone, please. Thank you, thank you. All right, Joe, in 15 seconds, can you tell me what these buttons are used for on offense?
No, not fully.
Right, give me your best shot.
Okay. So each of these buttons represent a receiver if you're passing it. So each receiver has a button that you press that to throw. A is to snap the ball. X is to dive, Y is to jump, B is to spin, and then A is to stiff arm.
Talking to Mike.
Use the right stick to juke people out and to hit stick people, and then use the left stick navigate.
Okay, now, yeesh. Tell us how you use this. You can go ahead and sit down, Joe. Thank you. What are the buttons for on defense?
For defense, A is to conservative tackle, X is to aggressive tackle, B is to slip a block, Y is to go for a pass, RT is to sprint, LT is to strafe.
All kinds of stuff, right? Yeah. The guy said, yeah, they know how to use all the buttons. Those are just the buttons for most of the buttons, applications for the different phases of the game that are used in Madden on both offense and defense. And this guy who plays in the NFL, because he did not understand the buttons, was hammered by kids. And so, saying, Madden, don't stink, learn the buttons. Today, we're going to be talking about winning in the Word. And if you want to win in the Word, you have to read the book. Can I get a witness on that? And so, as we talk about winning, a view of victory, and we talk about last week, we talk about winning in 2017, I ask you the question, did you win enough in 2016? What Pastor Scott was talking about, everybody hating 2016, it doesn't seem like there was enough winning going on. Can I get a witness on that part? We talked about having a focus on the Father, and as you have that focus on the Father, that you keep your victory in sight, and things go better. Now, I met this guy, actually lives right there, and he said he was going to come to church today. He's not here. He's not here. And he said, so what kind of church are you? And I said, Christian church. And he goes, oh, that's good. I'm a Scientologist. Ooh, okay. And we started talking about it. He goes, yeah, we're kind of non-denominational. I said, yeah, we're a little different than that. And he goes, oh, yeah, we all have different beliefs and views of God and stuff like that. And so I had talked about or I had written this message and been praying about this message. And I had written it up, and it was mainly an in-house kind of message. And I started thinking, what about this guy walks in? I start talking about the place of reading the Bible in your life, and he's got no connection with God. And so I looked up some stats. Actually, looked them up this morning. Barna had done, great Christian pollster kind of guy, and looked up people's views in the United States about the Bible. And 20% of the population are Bible skeptics, and realistically just reject the Bible in mass. No place for the Bible in their lives. 20% of the people are Bible engaged. Bible engaged. I'm going to use that phrase today some. And if you are Bible engaged, you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and you read the Bible 4 times a week. Bible engaged. I trust if you are here this morning, you are not a Bible skeptic. But we are going to be talking about some questions. Talking about where is and what is the position of the Bible in our life. Do I really need the Bible? I'm a Christian. Can I rely on the Bible? And is the Bible worth my time? And so as we take a look about winning in 2017 and asking you if you won in 2016 and talk about winning in the Word, the title of today's message, I have a Bible quiz for you. It is in English and it is in Spanish. Do not mention the answers. I have quizzed many people today, that the teachers and in my house and all that kind of stuff. So, real quick, who, don't say it out loud, I'm going to give you the answers on the screen in a second, okay? No fair sharing the answers. They might be wrong, you know. Okay, here we go. Who were Cain and Abel's parents? Just keep it in your mind. Who were Cain and Abel's parents? Who became king after David? Saul of Tarsus is better known as who? Who wrote the book of Revelation? And who was thrown to the lions for praying? All right. You got your answers in your head?
Yes.
All right. Here you go. Cain and Abel's parents were Adam and Eve. Solomon was king after David. Saul of Tarsus was given the name Paul. We know him as the Apostle Paul. John wrote the book of Revelation. And Daniel was thrown to the lion's den for praying. If you got 4, I want you to stand up. You got 4. Stand up. I don't want to embarrass anybody, okay? A little round of applause for the 4s. All right, you guys can sit down. If you got 5, get free lunch today. But if you're here today, you get free lunch today too. So if you got 3 or more, which was the average score for anybody under the age of 50 in my home, realistically, you probably are Bible engaged. If not, you might not be spending that 4 days a week in the Word. You might have some, I'm using Barna's words, ma'am. There is that element of, you know, in the Bible, what does it say that women should do in church? Oh, Roki got that one right. Bonus for Roki, he gets free cake. All righty, there we go. Yes, we've got some teaching to go on. being Bible engaged. It takes effort. But God is worth the effort. Amen? We're going to take a look at winning in the Word today. We're going to be all over the Bible. Okay? So hang with me. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you might be around a little bit. But if you also want, take the notes in the back, and you got all those verses right there. So we'll start in Deuteronomy. And try and answer that question. Do I really need the Bible? I mean, I know Christ is my Savior. I am set free. I am going to heaven. What do I really need the Bible for? You know, is it worth my time? Bible says, Moses speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 11 to the people as they get ready to re-enter the land. We looked at Deuteronomy last week. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. How many of you want to sign up for God's curse? Hook me up with the curse. Well, this is a way to avoid that. Sounds like a good idea, right? It says, the blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. And so the Bible contains God's directions for victory. He lays out in his word, his rewards, and his punishments. The law of Moses is specific in his covenant with the children of Israel. And he says, as after he releases the people from slavery in Egypt, this is how you have right relationship with me. This is how you can know me. And per se, the Old Testament does not apply directly to Christians because it is the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, and we have a new covenant in the blood of Christ, which is celebrated at the communion table today. Amen? But the Old Testament is incredibly valuable in understanding how God is and how he interfaces with his people. It is worth your time. Amen? The more you spend your time in the Word of God, the more you can learn about God. I see my wife fanning herself on her birthday, so I am going to turn the air conditioner back on. What? Yeah, be silent. Come on now. All righty. Sorry, birthday. We're going to go up to L.A. or something else this afternoon and eat dinner. All that kind of good stuff. All right, more time we spend in the Word, the more time we spend with the Lord. Or know about God, and the Lord gives us this because he wants to be in relationship with his children. He told the children of Israel, this is how you have relationship with me, and you come in here today. God wants to have relationship with you, and he gives you this book as a way to come into right relationship with him so that if he speaks to your heart about giving 10 bucks to a homeless guy, you are dialed in. Going to get a witness on that. Why? Because you've been thank you for that, amen, by the way. You've been in his word, and it begins to seep down into your soul. And you begin to act the way God wants you to act. He draws us into right relationship with him. And you come to know the Lord, and I might be the only person here, but I got saved when I was 29 years old, coming out of drugs and alcohol. My mind was so twisted, and I was so messed up. And I come into this ooey-gooey relationship with God. It's kind of a spiritual thing. And I'm a kind of a concrete guy, and I'm trying to figure this out, and it is slipping by. Can I get a witness? Anybody else struggle with that? This word, the Bible, will give you a concrete, tangible way to come into relationship with God. Amen? And as you move into this, he begins to move in your soul by his spirit. I get that. 10 bucks for the homeless guy. No problem, God. Why? Because you set a foundation by spending some time in the Word. It'll take effort, but God is worth the effort. Amen? It's a challenge. It's a 2,000 to 3,500-year-old book. It is written primarily in Hebrew and Greek, with a little bit of Aramaic thrown in. Different languages, different culture, different time, different everything. It is a whole lot harder to get into this book than to crack open YouTube or to do Google searches and sit around and read stuff all day. Thank you, sir. Free lunch for that's got it here. Yeah. But everybody gets free lunch. Remember that. Yeah. You can get concrete with God right here. Take some effort. God's worth the effort. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Bible is God's guide to success. God comes in your life to give you success, to have you succeed. Many of you, I came to the Lord, I was a train wreck. You get double lunch today, buddy. Take one home for dinner. Be strong. This is God. Bible says God spoke to Joshua. Joshua was taken over for Moses. Moses didn't make it to the promised land because he messed up on the commands. You're reading the Old Testament, there's all kinds of places where God brings punishment.
Right.
Pastor Paul. Free lunch for you today, buddy. There you go. So Moses doesn't make the promise. Man, he's leading the people for 40 years. He doesn't make the promise. He tells Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Where am I? Here we go. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. He doesn't say, try real hard. He doesn't say, give it the best shot. He says, you be careful. There's penalties. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you might be successful wherever you go. You want to fail? You want to be successful. You can be successful. It's in the Word. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Amen. Joshua, we're going to lead my people into a land filled with enemies. You want to find success? You better live like I told you to live. There's a lot of enemies out there.
Amen.
Amen? You know, and you can go your own way. Sometimes it doesn't really work out that well. God describes the path to success, and it does appear to be a narrow path. Jesus talks about the narrow way that leads to life, fullness of life. Jesus talks about not being turned to the right or to the left. Bad things can happen. Get Bible engaged. Joshua is encouraged to get the Word of God inside of him. Get the Word inside of you and you'll have success. As you get the Word inside of you and that trickles down to your heart and to your mind and where you make your choices, those choices will begin to line up on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God gives His people a way to connect with Him. In that intangible way, the Lord speaks to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and says, God is spirit. His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And sometimes it can be hard to establish that. All kinds of people have fuzzy relationships with the Lord. Last year, JJ had a fuzzy relationship with one of his teachers. I believe it was history, but I could be wrong there. My brain is a little fuzzy on that. But so because his grades were an accurate display of the fuzziness of his relationship with this history teacher, he and I had a meeting with the history teacher, and the history teacher said, okay, this is how my class works. On Mondays, I give out a study guide, and we go over the chapter. On Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I teach and I lecture on the material. On Thursday, we review the study guide, and on Friday, there is a test of the study guide. He said, if you know the study guide, you will get an A in my class. That sound rather tangible? No ooey-gooey there. Give it out on Monday, test it on Friday. And you know, Once JJ got a handle on that, his test scores began to climb immediately. It takes effort. It took him effort, but it was worth the effort. The Lord says, I am giving you the mechanism to succeed in your life. It will take effort, but if you put in the effort, you will succeed. Amen. And God is worth the effort. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going. Can I really rely on the Bible? All kinds of people say, oh, yeah, it's a great source of literature. It's some great stories, all that kind of stuff. All these people, most of them have train wrecks in their lives. Amen? Nobody wants free lunch, huh? Amen. Okay, thank you. Okay, there you go, Gail. You got it. All right. Let's talk about the Bible for a few minutes. Above all, you must understand, this is Peter writing to a whole bunch of churches in what is modern-day Turkey. You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I want to let you know today that the Bible comes from God. Amen. One more time. I want to let you know today that the Bible comes from God. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It is God's message to his people. It is God's message to the world. The world has all the wisdom of God in this book, and they can choose to open it or they can choose to reject it. In our lives, we can choose to open it or we can choose to reject it. Amen. Now, this book has been written by the hands of men. Luke writes, chapter 1, verse 3, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you. Luke did research on the accounts of Jesus' life. It did not just magically float down from heaven. It says right in the Bible. We can believe the Bible. Amen? Amen. Now, Luke did the research. Luke was motivated to write this thing. And what Luke wrote in his gospel was completely from the heart and mind and soul of Luke. But what Peter is describing to us, that the prophecy and the message of the prophets comes from God. And so even though, I'm talking about the miracle that is Scripture, even though Luke, it wasn't like automatic writing, Luke wrote what he intended to write, but what came out of his pen and what ended up on paper is exactly what God wanted to be written. It is this miraculous connection between God and man that is made up in this book. Amen. That we call the Bible. Amen? Amen? You say, okay, all this is fine and dandy, but is the Bible reliable? Is it more than just a collection of stories? Because there are those people who say, yes, the Bible is a great source of inspiration. I can read it, and I can be built up and filled up in my heart. But truth? I don't know. If you do research, and I got a lot of books in my office, and some of them are in regards to this, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. C.S. Lewis wrote several. The Romans and the Jews, who were no lovers of Christianity, had no doubt that Jesus lived and died. There is little doubt. Josephus talks about the life and death of Christ. Pliny the Younger, who was a Roman guy, talks about the life and death of Christ. Others write about the death of Christ. His believers write of the resurrection in the New Testament. The ones that were closest to him surrendered their lives because of their belief that he was indeed raised from the dead. Amen. You take a look at the historical accounts 200 years after Christ, and there's little doubt that he lived, little doubt that he died, and there's ample evidence that he was raised from the dead because of his followers. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that there were 500 people who viewed him after he was resurrected from the dead. Now, when you are writing that 20 years after his resurrection, that's a bold statement if you're lying. Can I get a witness on that? He's writing in the 50s. Jesus was crucified in the early 30s. There was 500 people who saw it. Oh, yeah, where are they? It would be easy to verify. But nobody was pulling down his claims back in the day. But now it comes and everybody's got doubts. The Romans had no doubt that Jesus lived. Their problem was with his message, because his message was a threat. And that message is still a threat. Amen? Amen? You want to understand it, it's going to take some effort. But God is worth the effort. Amen? God's direction is for improvement. We develop people as one of our basic fundamentals around here. We want to improve people because God is invested in your improvement. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to get better? Anybody want to get worse? I'm looking to get worse. Nobody wants to get worse, right? You want to get better. There are some things that you need to start doing. Amen? You go to the doctor, and the doctor could say, you need to start exercising. Pastor Scott talked about getting in shape. And so you're going to start doing some things that you are not doing. There's going to be investment in you. There's going to be something new. And he says that the Word of God is good for training. That there is an infusion of new stuff. Now, you go to the doctor and he says you start exercising, start doing some new things. There's some things that you might stop doing. Thank you, birthday girl. Appreciate that. So some of the things you might stop doing is eating fried foods. Oh, didn't get one witness. There you go, Aaron Bugs. Thank you. We're going to fry chicken for lunch, by the way. Yes. See, you get... teaching and training is the things that you should do. Correcting and rebuking is the things that you should stop doing. Amen? And you're going to get better in your life. You got to stop doing some bad things. You got to start doing some good things. Amen? Amen? And so that is what this book is filled with, the correction of God. The big question for you today is, how open are you to the input of God into your life? Because the Romans and the Jews had no problem with the fact that Jesus was alive and died. They had a problem with what he taught. And so many people want to put this book away today because they have a problem with what it teaches. Amen? Amen. It takes effort. God's worth the effort. You know, Dana and I go over to the skate park about every day. Wendy goes some days. And I'll tell you, those kids are really destroying their lives over there. A lot of drugs. And I didn't realize it until this week, but really a lot of sex too. And one kid, who I thought was a good kid, was like a senior, really taking advantage of a freshman. And I'm going to get him aside and say, you know, that's really bad. Now, this freshman, she's engaged because she's thinking she's getting a win out of this deal. But what's happening is these kids are just devouring one another. And it's so destructive. And when I was their age, I used to do the same thing. Can you get a witness on it? A lot of destruction going on. And you know what? I had no answers. I had no inclination that there was a different way to go. I had no thought that there was an avenue to success. And so today, when I go among them, I don't really even have to think about it. All I got to do is crack open the book, and I've got the answers for whatever ails them. Amen? I mean, you come in here today and you want to improve, this book will teach you how to be a better parent. This book will teach you how to be a better spouse. This book will help you how to manage your money. And this book will help you how to manage your time. Amen. It takes effort, but God's worth the effort. Yes. Amen? Is the Bible worth my time? So, do I really need the Bible? Can I rely on the Bible? And is the Bible worth my time? I'll let you know right off the bat. Improvement's going to take effort. Paul writing to Timothy, a young disciple of his, leading the church in Ephesus. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. God wants us to make sure that we keep the big thing, the big thing. And in Ephesus, they were using the word of God and the teaching of God, and there was all kinds of debates, and there was all kinds of dialogue, and there was all kinds of arguments about what does this mean, and what does this mean, and this mean. And the Bible is intended for you to improve in your life as you read this. What you don't want to do is read this for somebody else. Amen. Hey, I read this. You really need this. Well, you know what? God's going to talk to them about what they need. You know, you don't need to get in the middle of that. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what? You got work that you need to do. You read this book. It'll speak to your heart. God says, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Because what happens is so many of us were running our own lives and making our own choices that we were train wrecks, car wrecks. Man, it's like, whoa, how did I get here? I am all backwards. Why? Because I've been in charge of my life. And I'm out of control. You want to get back in control. You want to have success and you want to have victory in 2017. Get in the book. It'll take effort. But God is worth the effort. Amen. How'd you do on the quiz? That'll tell you how much effort you've been putting in the book. Getting free lunch today? Well, I forgot. Everybody's getting free lunch today. Four or five. You're spending your four times or more a day, times a week in the Word, and you're liking it. And you're going, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. And if you're not, you can start. Amen? That's just supposed to be for reading, ma'am. Thank you. You can silence those things. You got a little silence button that says, read the Bible only. All right, let's talk about being noble in church. Not listening to our cell phone. All right, here we go. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. God gives us an example of efforts in Berea. They heard, as Paul said, that he would go into the synagogue whenever he entered into a new city as normal. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, Saturday, he reasoned with them from Scripture. So he went in to the Jewish church on the Jewish day for Jewish services, and he would begin to teach them out of the Old Testament how Jesus was the promised Messiah.
Amen.
Tracking with me on that? And so he says, he explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Now, in Thessalonica, many believed, but there were many who formed a mob and attacked him. And they came to kill him, and he ran out of Thessalonica and went to Berea. Now, in Berea, he does the same thing. Goes to the synagogue, Jewish church, on Saturday during services. He starts talking from the Scriptures. Jesus, the promised Messiah, has to suffer and die, raised from the dead. Here it all is. He's the one. Many believed. But what they did in Berea was they grabbed the Word and they searched it out. I speak to you from the Word today. I got notes back there. I got half sheets back there. You can take your Bible, crack it open, and you can check me out. It'll take effort. But what happens is when you do that, that truth, this truth that comes from the Word today becomes internal to you. It takes effort, but God's worth the effort. He said to Joshua, you need to get this Word in you. And I'm letting you know today that if you want to find victory in 2017, you got to get the Word of God in you. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
All right, I'm counting. I'm going to tell people a sermon today. Get Bible engaged. It'll change your life. It'll take some effort, but God's worth the effort. At least you can come up and play. Maybe you're here today. And I talk about winning in 2017. And you think about 2016, and you've been losing. Your life has been a car wreck. And you're saying, I'm so lost. I'm so disengaged. My relationship with the Lord is so fuzzy. When I can't get right. In 2016 and 15 and 14, all the other years are a display of that. Maybe you're not coming out of the church in Scientology, but the Lord is here this morning and he says, man, let's hook up. I got a way for you to connect with me that I can become as real as this paper is real. He says this morning, I'm calling you into relationship with me. No other way you can find that except my Spirit draw you. And he says, my child, I am drawing you this morning. No more fuzzy. Time to grab on. Nobody looking around this morning, but that's you this morning. Say, that is me. I see a hand back there. Maybe that is you too this morning. You just raise your hand. Say, that is me. You know, I'm tired of a fuzzy relationship with God. I want to know him in a right and real way. Anybody else here this morning? Right here, somebody else would say, that's me. That's me. Another moment. That's you this morning. God's speaking right to your heart. I see that right here. Anybody else? That's me. Lord, for these that have responded to your Spirit, I just pray. Lord, I pray forgiveness. I pray fullness. I pray guidance by your Spirit. And I pray a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Their lives will be transformed 2017. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? All right, now, hold on. Bible engaged. You get Bible engaged, you can go to our website. What I do, wow. I'm just going to move on by. JJ and I get up, my son and I gotten up, and for years and years I have used this, 20 minutes a day to change your life. Some of you are computerized people. What Barna said is that 84% of the people read the word on paper, and 15-16% read it digitally. But if you're a digital person, you can go to our website, pick resources. You can pick down there in the middle of daily devotions, and you click on that. And today you read Genesis 20, 21, and 22, and Luke 8. Tomorrow it'll change. Also, if you're a computer person, you can go onto our site and hit Sermons Online. It's chag.church, chag.church, cityheightsassembly.com, either way you want. Click on that, Sermons Online, Winning in the Word, right there. I usually put it up there on Sunday afternoon or Monday morning. You can click on that and you can listen to this message again. You can be like a Berean and check me out. You can go up there and you can do your daily Bible reading, or come up here and get one of these pages. In my Bible, I got a new one of these last year because my other one was all tore up. Just put the check marks. You keep track of what you're reading. Every day is up there. You go to today, which is the 8th. 20th to the 22nd, Luke 8. There it is. So, you want to win in 2017. You can win in the Word. You can go online and you can do this. You can come up here after service today. You can grab one of these. Just go down there, read today, check it off, read tomorrow. At the end of the year, you will have read through the New Testament twice, and you will have read through the Old Testament once. George is on his fourth time through. Yeah. It'll change your life. Let's pray. The worship team is going to come. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. I thank you that you give us a way to connect with you. I realize that it takes effort, but Lord, I realize in my life that you indeed are worth the effort. Lord, I pray that we as a church would become Bible engaged. Know that you are mighty and awesome in City Heights and that you make changes. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's stand and we're going to worship the Lord.